This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then welcome the host of Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome to the show, and today I've invited Hillary Potts to come back and join us. Hillary was with us about a month ago and had some really great insights for leaders, and I've asked her to come and talk about a topic that I think is crucial to anybody who's serious about a leadership career, and that is, how do you manage transitions? So that can be the first time you have an opportunity to move into leadership, as you get an opportunity for promotion or to shift or expand your roles. These are critical transition times. And how you handle those is going to determine actually the trajectory of your career. So a reminder. So Hillary is a catalyst for change. She works with individuals and companies. In fact, some of the most prominent companies in a variety of industries and geographies all around the world. She has a unique way of helping people look strategically at these kinds of opportunities and pitfalls, potential pitfalls, that are part of any dynamic career. So she's very transformational. She's very engaging. She's got a unique perspective. Today, she's going to share some of her special tools for navigating through leadership transitions, including an actual roadmap that will give you some great reminders and different ways of thinking about things so you don't move too quickly into the business of the business, but you remember that part of it is about showcasing your own talents and making sure that you're prepared to be as successful as you could possibly be. Welcome, Hillary. It's so nice to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me back. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'd like to start first. You know, we use this word onboarding a lot. And for many people, it's very similar to orientation. So that's perhaps one of the most common transitions that leaders would have, is moving into a new company and going through this onboarding process. Would you talk about what that means to you in this particular context?
Sure. So onboarding, orientation is one part of an onboarding process. But when I hear companies say they have orientation, I'm thinking more that they end up having training sessions, online modules. They're telling the new employee, the new executive, about the company. And those things are extremely important to get the executive leader up to speed. That said, a leader needs to think about their own onboarding and their transition from ending whatever they're doing, going into kind of this neutral transition zone and starting a new job. And so for onboarding, there really needs to be a strategic plan, a strategy to make that transition. So it's more than just the training and learning about the company. It's assessing the business, assessing a leader's skills, assessing the role, developing and cultivating relationships, you know, the whole nine yards that really a leader gets their arms around what the business is and how they're going to lead.
So you were telling me earlier that you have 10 indicators that an onboarding may be off track. Would you share some of those with our listeners?
Sure.
How would we know?
Yeah, so a couple. First and foremost is leaders sometimes have a hard time staying in learning mode. They get so excited when they start to see the business that they want to touch the business and get in and make a difference that they step out of learning too soon. A second thing is really the thinking more about the business and less about the people. And while leaders are well-intended and they'll tell you that people matter, sometimes the content of the business overwhelms them, and about a month goes by and they still haven't connected with the people in the organization. And I'll give you a third one that tends to happen is that while the boss, the senior manager hired the leader, many times as the new leader comes in, they have different ideas and designs on where they want to take the business than the boss. And sometimes it can be difficult to go back and realign with that senior manager and make sure you're in lockstep. So those are three of the 10. I can share a couple more if you'd like me to.
Well, let's start with those, because you've certainly hit on some good points. And I couldn't help but think about an organization that I've been working with recently that actually had no leadership for a while. There was an empty space, and then someone was assigned to be the CEO. And so people who had been waiting for many months for strong leadership direction were so excited about this, and they thought, here is this new leader. We're going to finally understand what our direction is. We're going to get clarity around our goals, etc. And it's been 6 months, and he's still focusing on the business, has not reached out to people. And I think sometimes we overlook the implied messages there, or how important connecting with us as leaders can be to people who are on the front lines.
You bring up a really good point, because business is still about people. As much as we're automating businesses, they are being automated by people behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. And so missing the point to find out the opinion of the people that are actually doing the work and working in the business. And I typically, you know, executives, you want them working on the business, not in the business, knowing when to go in and out. And so a real mistake is not finding the time to meet the people that are working in the business and finding out what they think, particularly because they're on the front line talking to the customers. They're dealing with the issues, and they probably have a better sense of how to solve the problems than, as I say to some of my executives, you're sitting in this white ivory tower pressing these business levers, and do you really know what the impact of what you're doing? And so I just, first and foremost, is those business connections and being able to understand the business from top to bottom, bottom to top and side to side, become really critical. So the executive you're working with, I guess I'd whisper in their ear and say, you know, shift some time and get to know some of the people and hear what they have to say. Listen and ask them how they'd want to solve the problems, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to be doing the work.
Well, that's what you were talking about, staying in learning mode for a little longer and to understand the business from the many different vantage points represented by individuals who are on the front lines can really pay dividends in time. You know, something else you said, and I don't want to get too far away from it. You talked about the transition, including ending the previous experience. And I think that's something we tend to gloss over. Even sometimes if we leave a company on very good terms, but we've been invested in their success, we are connected to the individuals there, I think we can underestimate the wrenching that takes place and how difficult that may be to go from a place that you are known and respected and have your relationships to a place where you're the new kid on the block. Would you speak to that for a moment?
I sure will, Catherine. I spend a fair amount of my time, while we're talking today about executive onboarding, the other side of it is the executive is transitioning to something else. And I also work on strategic plans on how do you hand the business over to somebody else. And so often people are just saying, I'm done, and the next guy or gal will take care of it. And I think they're not really setting the business and the new leader up for success. And so as I work with executives on the incoming leader transition roadmap, I also work on the exit leadership transition roadmap. And there's a variety of things that they can strategically think about to put away, leave a legacy, pack things up so that the organization that they built can really be successful in the future. And so many leaders just say, well, it's not my job, I'm done, I'm moving on. And I think it's a miss. those really extraordinary experienced leaders realize that what they've just built over the last year, 2 years, 10 years matters, and they want to leave a legacy. And so working with that organization, working with the new leader coming in is critical.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And I think also just understanding the cycles of relationships and focusing on that aspect of it as well. It's not just about a career, but you're touching human beings along the way and you're being influenced as well. And I think sometimes to even have some closure there where you acknowledge with each other what your time is meant together, that kind of thing can help, surprisingly, rather than just kind of disappearing into the night.
And it can. I'm working with an executive right now just on that. The messages that he's leaving to the organization, the conversations he's having with his management team and some of the high potential people. And we have a whole plan of how he's touching the organization in the last 3 months of his role as he moves on.
And it sounds like it is the human factor, of course. It's also good business. The world is so small, and with social media, LinkedIn, all the rest of it, we never truly leave people behind. So taking care of the relationships as we move away from people into another organization, I think also bears a little bit of attention.
It does. And so, you know, in this case, this guy's mantra is leave strong. And he's realizing that the industry he's in is, while it's a global industry, it's also a small industry and everybody knows everybody else. And he likes the people and he wants to make sure that they succeed.
Great. So we've got 1 minute till break. We want to talk about this applies when an executive is new to a company, when they're promoted from within or given a stretch assignment, new to a department or expands their role, or there's a business change. So it really is about taking an informed approach and helping people manage those transitions. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about the Leadership Transition Roadmap. I think it's a wonderful tool and something that people can actually use to plan their own transitions and onboarding. So we'll be back in just a moment.
There's more with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break. This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then join the host for Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi, every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the All Business Radio Network. LinkedIn. It's a great tool and a great way to do business in today's social media driven world. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady with the LinkedIn Lady Show, Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern on allbusinessradionetwork.com. The LinkedIn Lady Show is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses. Every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose. And the LinkedIn Lady will interview a variety of guests, such as business owners who can showcase their business and talk about how they use social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. As trends change and new applications become available, the LinkedIn Lady Show will bring that information to you in an easy-to-use, fun, and engaging way. Every Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus on AllBusinessRadioNetwork.com. You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. We're here with Hillary Potts, an expert in helping leaders manage transitions to really maximize their potential and get on that success track really fast. So before we went to break, we talked about the leadership transition roadmap that Hillary has developed for this transition process. But before we go there, we wanted to close out one part of what we were talking about. You know, it's very important to stay in the learning mode until you really have your feet on the ground when it comes to understanding different aspects of the business. But let's be realistic. You've got to keep the business performing and on track at the same time. So how do you juggle that, Hillary? How would you advise your clients?
So first off, I start off with goal setting and understanding where the business is today. So before they jump into creating a plan, they understand, is the business in, you know, a healthy business that's in growth mode, or is it a business that really is in turnaround and needs decision-making pretty quickly? And from there, that determines the tempo of the transition. That said, not all activities need addressing in the first 90 to 100 days. And a leader needs to really quickly get their arms around the two or three major events that are going to happen within that transition period, name them, and determine what really needs to get done. And do they need to be involved as the leader, or do they assign that to someone else? So you had mentioned that there was an opening for 6 months. Well, work was getting done in that 6 months. So just because the new CEO came in doesn't mean that all of a sudden he or she needs to jump in and make all the decisions. Decisions were being made in the gap. So a savvy executive knows how to give themselves some breathing room. They name the things that need to get done. They work to assign people in that role, and that typically there are probably people already assigned, and then they figure out how they're going to keep that on track as an initiative in the interim. And then that way, they're not dipping into every aspect of the business, but there are a couple areas that would need their decisions. Maybe it's a new product launch. Maybe there is a major customer issue. Maybe there's some new acquisitions, something that really would say, look, this needs my attention. But they put a plan together so that they can act as a sponsor versus being in the business and moving all the levers.
I can imagine that would seem counterintuitive to some who want to make a statement very quickly and demonstrate that they can jump in and take charge. But it makes sense. It does make sense. And that, you know, you never have another chance for that onboarding learning process, right?
You don't. And some things you can restart in the transition, and there's other things that make it difficult. And there are a lot of mistakes you can make by jumping in too soon. There's less mistakes to be made if you're connecting with people and getting the people to work on the business versus you stepping in. And typically with these transitions, an executive is moving typically up the ladder, expanding their role. So there's some kind of leadership shift that they have to really pay attention to. And what they want to do is jump in and lead the business the same way they did before. And this is the opportunity to say, you know what, step back and do it differently. You would typically step in and be the hero that saves the day. But as you're moving into this new CEO role or new president role, this is a time to enable your leadership a little bit differently and delegate and enroll others to action. And again, that's a little uncomfortable for leaders who want to show that they are the right person for the role.
You know, that's such a good point. It's really important to do this in a very intentional way, or we will take our past strengths and try to apply them and maybe even more intensively. But there's that saying that what got you here won't get you there. And that's so true. If we stop and think, what is different about this new role and what different perspectives and skills does it require? And I think one of the things people will find, at least the people I've worked with, have come to this realization that the further up you go in an organization, the more adept you must be at getting results through others, because you simply can't do it all yourself. And so by engaging, inspiring, energizing, informing others, then you expand your influence and you're able to manage much more in a broader sense, a deeper sense, without feeling that you have to do it all yourself, which I think is a great point that you're making. We do get in our own way, don't we, Hillary, sometimes? What are some of the things that the leaders you've worked with, well-intentioned, help us know what some of the pitfalls might be so that we can avoid those.
Well, you know, again, discounting ideas and lack of listening. And I'm going to separate the two. One is you start to hear someone tell you about how the business is, and you quickly form an opinion. I mean, because most of the people I tend to work with have been in business a while, so they've seen and experienced a variety of situations. So I always suggest to the leader, take a step back before you jump in and start discounting the ideas and thinking from your perspective. Listen, ask some open-ended questions, explore and inquire. It is what it is. Let it kind of settle and land so you can hear it. Because the minute a leader starts to discount the words and actions they're using, even if it's the body language, people start to pick up on that pretty quickly. And they stop talking. They stop sharing. And then all of a sudden, an executive is isolated.
And they wonder why.
And they wonder why. And they say, gee, I'm asking, but no one's saying. And I think that that first piece of, unfortunately, that discounting ends up really getting in their way from learning. I think another one is their presence.
Before we go there, though, Hillary, I just wanted to say one more thing about this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Sometimes we discount it because we see the flaws in someone else's thinking. But if we look at it from the perspective of a success coach, it's important to know how the people we rely on actually think about situations, what their mental strategies are, how they go about problem solving. If you listen with that filter, you're going to understand a lot about where their strengths are. You may learn something new yourself, as you pointed out, but it also may give you an opportunity to respectfully open people's perspectives and encourage them to keep sharing, but also give them different points of view.
Well, so I want to build on what you said, because there's also a coaching opportunity. And I think one of the pitfalls of moving up the leadership ranks is sometimes coaching and mentoring go by the wayside, particularly in this very hectic world where business results needed to happen yesterday. And so listening and hearing how people are thinking and processing helps a leader understand how they want to shift the organization, how they want to help build the capability and talent in the organization, because it is what it is. And that listening provides an opportunity to then become the coach and be able to help the organization grow versus stepping in and doing it for them, which ends up being misconstrued most of the time.
It also, I think, contributes to something we hear a lot about anymore, and that is the importance of trust. If you're going to go fast, you have to know that everybody's got each other's backs, and you don't waste time speculating or protecting yourself or, you know, any of that kind of resistance or defensiveness, but just really moving forward. So I think really listening with a respectful point of view can build a lot of trust too.
Well, so you pick up on the second key aspect of a leader transition roadmap, which is around building relationships, making the connections, creating the networks, and really creating the trust and respect. So it's not just about like a politician going out and shaking a bunch of hands. What I always suggest to a leader is, how are you truly making those connections, and are you having meaningful conversations with people? And some executives are really uncomfortable, because I really work with them on what's their personal brand, what's their point of view, what do they want to share from a personal perspective? Because many high potential leaders want to know what their bosses are doing and saying, and how they live and work and breathe. And so bringing that human aspect helps to create trusting relationships. And you mentioned, you know, how many leaders unfortunately put their arms and hands around the business first and don't tend to those relationships. And I think that can be a real miss. And the transition in creating a leadership transition roadmap really maps out how are you going to get around to build the relationships in that first 3 months on the job.
You know, Patrick Lencioni has a new book out called The Advantage, and it talks about organizational health, and this is so much a part of that, that he says, in a world where so many of our services and products are commoditized, this is the last great differentiator. And the multiplier effect for our ability to stand out and be successful in business is how well we work together as a team and how we can challenge each other and encourage each other to grow. And it's very exciting to think that we're getting to that point, really, where we're starting to look at ourselves, leaders, as talent agents or talent managers. And when we look at people through that filter, rather than the win-lose, pass-fail kind of approach that we've had in the past, we may be surprised by people's actual potential and help them realize it, or we know that we've given them the best shot, and if they're not a match, it's a lot easier to make that decision and the transition. So we've just got a couple minutes till our next break, Hillary, but if you would, actually we've got 1 minute. So we were talking about some of the things that can trip us up, and we started into the leadership transition roadmap. So maybe we'll talk about one or two more ways that we can trip ourselves up. How do we recover from that if we do have a misstep in our own onboarding process? And then we're going to move into this the roadmap you have, because I think it's a great tool. So thank you so much for being with us today. This is certainly a timely topic for our listeners, and we want to talk a lot more about how we can help them be successful through your experiences. And here we go into the break. We'll be right back.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
In today's business world, a helping hand or idea that doesn't come with an invoice is a treasured find. And if that happens to you, then you need to pay it forward to keep other entrepreneurs from making mistakes or getting a raw deal. It's called Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10, 9 a.m. Central. Josephine is going to have the guests describe their accomplishments, the lessons they've learned, both good and bad, and then sharing those pieces of knowledge as we create a movement of paying it forward. For more information about Josephine, her business, and background, you can go to mymomknowsbest.com. Josephine Gerasi has always been a problem solver. She saw this need and has turned it into a movement. It's Paying It Forward, with tips, tools, and advice, and hard lessons learned. These pieces of knowledge can make a huge difference for you, your business, and others. So join us for Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central, on toginet.com.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories, the people behind their masks, the truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. We were just about to talk about what can go wrong in an onboarding process, and when that happens and the executive fails in a transition, first of all, how can we avoid it? And how can we recover from it? So, Hillary, Give us some of your wisdom around that topic, please.
Yeah, I guess the first thing to avoid it is to create a transition plan from the get-go and to strategize on what you want to accomplish. And ideally, even before you go into the job, if you can, and many can't. If by chance that you're off track, and I do a fair amount of executive coaching about 6 months to a year and a half in and to a new assignment, and they don't call it a transition, but typically something's gone wrong in that first 100 days. And that's where, by that time, people have an understanding of the leader in the organization. And that would be a good time to do some assessment and understand, maybe do a 360 and hear what people are saying about how you're showing up as a leader so that you have some context by which to create a plan to shift. If for some reason you have really botched, and I had a guy that really was not connecting with people. People thought he was arrogant. He kept talking about his prior company. So every suggestion had to do with, at XYZ company, we did such and such. But what was really helpful for him when he received the feedback in the 360, it allowed him to know the places that he needed to shift in what he was doing and saying fairly quickly that he could get back on track. So you could say, well, gee, if you're not getting your relationships right, then you're doomed. I would say it depends on how far you let it go and how quickly you recover in actually walking your walk. And in this case, this executive quickly noticed it. He went out and he actually acknowledged it to people and said, this is what I heard you say, and here's what I'm going to do differently. And then he actually put it into action. And then he was able to salvage his transition and go on to be very successful in that role and several other roles in the company.
You know, that is such an important point. Lencioni calls it vulnerability trust. So, we have to earn trust through our competence and our follow-through, our accountability. Sometimes we overlook the power of being authentic, showing ourselves as vulnerable human beings, sincerely. And I've had the same experience you have. It's counterintuitive to go and say, you know what, I didn't handle that very well. I could have done it better. This is what I wish I had done. This is what I'm going to do in the future. But if you want to talk about hitting the reset button, I think that's a very powerful way to do it.
I agree. And I do have a fair amount of my practice is in helping leaders with their vulnerability and facing that fear. So often people don't work on a transition plan or even ask for a coach or help in a transition plan because they're afraid to tell people that they don't know how to do it. That it's assumed that you're supposed to know how to do everything because you're in that role. And I find that the leaders that actually are honest and say, you know, I don't know how to do that. I need some help. Or I'm not really good at XYZ. Typically it's listening and giving feedback, that people actually help them. And they actually say, look, they prompt them and say, I'd like you to listen to me right now. And so that prompt helps the leader who's working on listening.
Yeah.
Say, okay, let me try. But when they don't and they assume that they know what to do, I think it puts them in a disadvantage.
I think it's one of the biggest hurdles to overcome is that belief, that mistaken belief that somehow we should already know what we haven't had a chance to learn yet, or that because of my position, I should be able to do this. And if I admit that I don't, then there's something flawed about me. Whereas, you say, and I entirely agree with my own experiences, when people say, I don't have to know everything, but I'm smart enough to bring people around me who know what I don't. Those are the people who just skyrocket to success in my experience.
It is, and you bring up a really good point about this whole idea of a transition. And I think where leaders get off track, they assume because they were put in the role that they know what they're doing. And many times, leaders are put in a role because they have performed in their last role, and people and the senior management is willing to give them a chance in this role. But they're not assuming that this leader knows how to do everything. In fact, they're hoping the leader realizes what got them here is helpful, but they're smart enough to know that they have to get clear on the role that they're doing in this new role and decide how their leadership is going to be in the new role. So what are they going to do and say, and what aren't they going to do and say? And I do an exercise with many leaders around, what are you going to start doing, what are you going to stop doing, and what are you going to continue doing based on this role? And I had one gentleman who really liked it because it really helped him in the moment decide what he really wanted to, how he wanted to show up before a meeting. So, you know, he decided that he really needed to stop delving into the business too much and delegating. But that's, it's easy to say that. It's harder to do it. So he actually had a question that he would ask, so it stopped him from delving into the business. And it was an easy question. He would ask the team, what would you like to do? How would you solve this problem? And because he had that one-liner, it made it really easy for him to stop from going the step further and getting right in the business and saying, well, you should do this and we should do that. And he just asked the question and used silence.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's go into your leadership transition roadmap. I think this is so helpful, and we've referred to it earlier in the program, so I'll make sure we have time to do it. Looks like there are six components. Would you talk to us a little bit about that and how that's, I know that you've developed this through your own experiences. So anything that you'd like to share about that would be great.
Sure. You know, from the goal setting, I sit down and we actually have a roadmap session and we talk in six major buckets. They're learn, connect, assimilate, lead, balance, and communicate. And in each of those areas, it allows a leader to create a plan of what do I need to learn about the business, the people, the culture, the customers? What are the relationships? How do I want to connect with both people inside the organization and outside the organization? And we actually do a stakeholder plan that determines those people that they want to connect with and prepare for those conversations. The assimilation piece, it's not just the management team that they're assuming, but they're typically a leader has other teams that they're sponsoring or they're part of. So how are they going to assimilate to the various teams that they're going to be on? The fourth one is their leadership. And we talked about that earlier, is how are they going to match their leadership to the business and what do they need to do to be most effective? And I use the word balance because there's a balance between the work-life balance and going into a new role. Typically, a leader is a little off balance because they're spending more time in the role than they are on their personal life. And so I do a fair amount of talking with them about how they're helping the rest of the teams in their life, their family, their spouse, their community, their transition to a new location, whatever. How do they get that balance? And how do they role model that for people in the organization so they see that it's important to have work-life balance? And then the last one, which is critical, and it's not last because it's the least important, but it's really how does the leader want to communicate? From creating a communication strategy to actually executing that communication and in hopes that they can actually take many of those tools into their work beyond the 100 days. And then from there, taking that, we create this roadmap, and then there's check-in points. Then we work as a team to really look at all the information they collected. How do they assess the business? And then most importantly is how are they going to share their observations and insights with the organization and work on the next steps? And then I end my process with what does the next 100-day roadmap look like? So it's one thing to have gone through the transition, but then to start another roadmap that sets them up for the next 100 days.
Smart. First of all, 100 days is manageable. When you think about how am I going to do my 3 to 5 years, that's a little bit more daunting.
It is. So you're just, you know, doing in kind of 3 month, 100-day increments is helpful. Now, what I find sometimes is, depending on the scope of the job, it could be more than a 3 month transition, particularly if you're working with a global president and they have to literally get themselves around the world. But again, putting it forth and saying, here's what the plan looks like. And then they're able to then, once you have this plan, you can engage other people to help. You can communicate what you're doing and how you're doing it. It starts to inform your work. And so then people know kind of what you're doing and what to expect in that time period.
Yes, I think that's so important, especially because a lot of people who are on your team are going to be looking for structure and clarity and some kind of consistent, systematic approach. That's where they get their security and where they get their best work. So it also keeps everybody pointing in the right direction.
Well, it does, and that's why I also really suggest at the end of the transition period to have a observation sharing session, particularly with the management team, also a one-on-one with your own boss. It signals that you're coming to the end, and then also is a reset to say, okay, I'd asked, you know, had certain expectations in the transition. Here are the expectations going forward. Here's how I'd like to work together. And there can be a dialogue of here's what I learned about the business, and here are some suggestions. Let's work together to figure out where we want to go from here. And so then it allows them to start to set their own strategic direction and be more conscious about it.
The other thing it does, I think, is give them much more of a stakeholder perspective. Dan Pink says that we're really motivated by the desire for autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And the more we're engaged with being able to set our own course, I think the more we're going to want to bring our heart and our souls, our spirits into work, as well as just our hands and our minds. And that's when you get the best out of people.
It is, and I think that's in the section on the roadmap around balance. Is I talk a lot about how do you bring healthy habits into the workplace? How are you really taking some time to, whether it's journaling, meditating, sitting quietly in silence, reflecting, doing something that's helping you kind of bring yourself back into the center versus being always so out in the world?
That is a perspective that I'm hearing more and more of, Hillary. But for a lot of people, I'm going to guess, if they're especially more old school, it's kind of strange. So we're going to go into a break here. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about the value of those kind of practices when we do come back and how it fits into a very results-oriented business environment. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you. So we're going to take our last break here in the show, and then we'll be back shortly.
More to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then join the host for Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi, every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the All Business Radio Network. You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. For those of you who've been listening to the show for some time, you'll recognize a theme that's come up a few times, and that is I've had a number of guests who talk about the importance of meditation or contemplation or different kinds, methods of kind of stepping out of the busy daily activities and dropping into a different place of perspective. And yet I know that for some of you, this is very new thinking. So Hillary, would you talk a little bit more about that and maybe some of your own experiences?
Sure. I think, you know, we're such an activity-driven society today where we're, you know, constantly on our smartphones, on the computer, we're interacting, that we have very little time to actually just sit and be with ourselves. And that can also be a very scary thing, because when you end up sitting in with yourself, you actually get to realize that some things are working and other things might not be working. But more and more, I'm finding that executives are realizing that they need some time to think. And they need some time to think and strategize, and sometimes just to sit and be and clear their head. And so there's a variety of different practices, whether you're doing the thousands of different ways there are to meditate, or you're maybe practicing yoga, or you're a runner, something that allows you to settle your physical body, your mental, your thoughts, your emotions, and just the energy. Because as I was working with one of the executives, I said, do you understand how when you walk in the room, the energy of the room changes? And, you know, that's a funny thing to be saying. But he says, I do. I notice it. And I said, is it a good shift or is it a bad shift? And he says, well, it depends. And I said, being more aware of how when you enter a room as an executive is really important to the outcomes you're going to get. And so these practices of meditation or yoga or qigong or tai chi are all very helpful practices to help people kind of become more aware, become more conscious. And the benefits are there's less stress, there's re-energized business and people are more focused and clear, there's more creativity. There's just a variety of benefits that we're finding from these practices. The issue is to find the time, and especially when a leader is extremely under a lot of pressure and stress, is to find the 2 to 5 minutes to collect.
Probably the time that they need it the most. But I will also say, when you start doing this, it is amazing how much noise there is in your head. When you quiet yourself so that you don't have a lot of external stimuli, it's the thoughts that run through your head, the static, the noise, it takes a while. I think in the some of the meditation traditions, they call this the monkey mind, always busy, always into different things. From an NLP point of view, Hillary, there's another benefit to this, and that is we have at least two aspects of mind. One is the logical, linear language side, and the other is the more intuitive, subconscious side. And most of us in business spend so much time in that outward decision-making, results-oriented aspect that we don't always tap into that inner compass or that guidance that kind of in a quiet way can lead us to extraordinary insights and breakthrough moments. And that you can't storm the gates of heaven, as they say in the Bible. What you have to do is, you know, in that case, just to be receptive, to listen and notice, maybe not actively, something that you are going to, like this astonishing moment of clarity. But what happens when you practice something like meditation or qigong or tai chi or something like that, even running, is that you find that there's more synchronicity in the world. You start to notice things over the next days and weeks that are seeming coincidences, but exactly what you need to know or hear from other people. And so giving that opportunity for your conscious and unconscious, your conscious and unconscious mind, yes, to work together, I think can be brilliant. Have you had that experience?
I have. So I am a big proponent of yoga, qigong, and meditation, and certified in those disciplines. And one of the things I do work with clients on is, you know, how do they pay attention just simply to their breath? And in a meeting, instead of, you know, moving and trying to react, is just to sit back, find themselves getting centered, and just pay attention to their breath as they're listening. And can they feel the pause from the top of the exhale, the bottom of the exhale to the, you know, the top of the inhale, and just lengthen their breath helps them to kind of shift and to move into more conscious listening mode versus reactive, you know, what I call false listening, where you're pretending like you're listening. And you know, just little pieces like that. So, that, you know, many of my executive buddies are not really yet interested in a yoga class, but they are interested in the components. And I think a little bit goes a long way. There's also a gentleman by the name of Julian Treasure. You might have heard of him. And he's a listening expert. And he has a really interesting TED Talk that he did in July of 2011. And he's written a bunch of books on how we're stepping away from, you know, silence and how it's getting harder and harder in this noisy world to find the silence. And he has various, you know, skills to enhance your listening skills and the use of silence, and just, you know, sitting and being quiet for 2 to 3 minutes a day helps you kind of reset, recalibrate your hearing, and it also kind of brings you back to center. So there's so many things that are available, we just need to find the minute. You know, someone said to me, well, I don't have an hour to meditate. And I said, you don't start running a marathon and run the full, you know, 26.12 miles. You start with increments. And likewise with some of these practices as well. You start with small increments and build up.
And when you start to see there's a payoff, I think that makes it easier to invest the time.
It is. I think there's a crossover, though. And several of my clients have said that is when they first start to try to practice these things, as you mentioned, the monkey mind really starts to kind of build up. And my suggestion is always, it's there. Don't push it away, but see if you can soften the noise. Can you turn it down just a little bit? Can you put it in the background in the distance? Can you pause it for just a second versus trying to stop it?
You know, as I listen to you, it reminds me of a book that came out a couple of years ago called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Won't Stop Talking. Have you heard of that one?
That is a terrific book. That's a wonderful book. Because it just really brings home, are you really, when you're out there so energetic and being out, are you being as effective as if you were just to sit for a moment and listen and take in and observe and share other ideas or hear other ideas?
I think you could become more intentional rather than being on autopilot constantly. So we had talked. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm fine. Thanks.
We had talked about communication, one of the important components of your leader transition roadmap. There's so many different ways to communicate with employees, with coworkers, peers, bosses. What kind of insights do you give your leaders, or what have they discovered that works really well for them?
Yes, so what I typically start to do is find out what the current organization uses, and if they have a communications department that they can tap into, that's wonderful and helpful. But stepping back before you start to say, you know, who, what, when, where, and how to communicate is, what's the strategy and what is going to be your communication principles over the next 3 months in the transition? And why I like to do that is it allows the leader to then share those principles with others that are going to help. So typically when a communications is crafted from a president, HR is probably involved, finance might even be involved, your communications department, maybe some consultants or coaches. And with those foundational core principles of how they want to communicate, it allows everyone to help out. And then also as they communicate, if you're getting off track, it can come back. And then also saying, okay, how does the organization, are they used to being communicated to, and how does the leader like to communicate, and how do you marry the two? And then from there, say, what are the messages? And so often you see the newsletter that comes out, and you know when you read that newsletter, it was written by somebody else, and it doesn't really have that personality, as we talked about earlier, the human factor, the authenticity of that a leader wrote it. And so I always, if someone else is going to be writing for you, make sure that they're writing in a way that sounds like you versus sounds like some corporate speak.
It's very important, that connection and really feeling that you are recognized as, you know, an individual and that you are engaging with someone else who is also a human being in there too. Just to remember that is pretty powerful.
It is. And now with blogs and tweets and, you know, you can do this inter-organization in many organizations. I'm starting to encourage, and I have for the last 5 or 6 years, use blogs. Let people know where you are in the world. Bring a little human factor to it. If you're a football fan, you can even just, you know, mention that your favorite team won or lost. So that people kind of see that you're active in the organization, both with the business and with your personality. And again, this is uncomfortable to some to say, what am I going to blog about or what am I going to tweet about? And there are ways to do that so it's not public and it's just within the organization. And communications departments can help with that, or, you know, consultants or HR. But, keeping people in touch.
Keeping people in touch, I think it's a great idea. And that brings the human factor back into business. And that's what I think energizes people so much. You know, Hillary, your wisdom is so welcome, so needed, I think. And especially this topic of leader transitions. So I just want to say for people who are in transition, who are considering moving to another organization, really think about what Hillary has shared with us today. Be more intentional about it. And also think about something you said earlier, Hillary, is about what is your brand? So knowing that every interaction you have with people is going to support that brand, really think it through and how you want people to feel after they've had that interaction with you, how to align with them and create that unity of purpose. So thank you so much for being with us today. You can go to our radio page and learn more about Hillary Potts. Bring her into your organization. Take care, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for examining leadership from the perspectives of intellect, heart, and spirit. We're committed to bringing you the insights and information you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. So we want to know more about you, our listeners. What did you learn on today's show that struck a chord with you?